Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of
Legends Only.
I'm T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley.
And this is your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about
Legends Only.
Hello, Brad.
Hello. How are you?
I am feeling like a brave new girl, and she's coming out tonight.
That is the right feeling for this weekend.
Yeah.
For many reasons, actually.
Yeah, we can talk about it another time. We have a lot to discuss today.
We do. Yes, we have to get into a lot. This has been a jam-packed weekend.
Yeah. So
very emotional weekend.
We're coming at you guys a little late this week because we wanted to watch the Miley Cyrus performance, which turned into a full concert. Also, there's this little thing called the Super Bowl, which I'm not watching. Are you?
No, we're actually performing an act of defiance by recording this during the podcast. During the Super Bowl.
Yes. Literally, I think kickoff just happened or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. We're sticking it to the man by recording during.
Yeah. So well, there. Speaking of sticking it to the man, I just would like to say something because all week long, all I saw everyone talking about greatest athlete of all time playing this weekend, greatest athlete in the world. And I was like, oh, yeah, her name is Serena Williams. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the Australian Open starts tonight, first round. I don't know who that man is that they keep talking about. Brady Bunch, whatever.
Mm-mm. Let me tell you, not a great week for men. No.
Yeah, no.
Never a great week for men, but especially this week. Nope. No men this week.
Yeah,
we will
except
be
us.
Denouncing men, as always. Yeah, except
we hate all men except each other.
Well, we also have a lot of self-loathing, so I think it's fair.
Okay.
Or I do, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Brad, good luck.
I'll need it.
All right. Well, as always, we would like to give a huge shout out to all of our supporters on Patreon, our Patreon Legends Only fans. Thank you all so much for your support each month. We've got a Discord. We've got some fun stuff coming in a few weeks.
I'm pretending like I don't know.
No, you know.
I don't know why. Is it a bit? Am I doing a bit right now? Oh, okay.
No, we'll talk about it later. Anyway, okay. So a lot to discuss this week. That can be saved for later. So
yes, clearly.
Let's follow up with a conversation that we started last week with a little bit of our impact, a little bit of A&R from Legends Only, with Slater and Heidi Montag collabing. Now, did you catch their Instagram Live that happened the other night?
I did not.
Okay, well, I'm here to fill everyone in. So
breaking news.
Slater and Heidi had a brief Instagram Live where Heidi invited Slater to be on The Hills, and they were basically saying that they're going to make a song. And so, you know, our impact. And really the highlight of the live, which I quoted out here and wrote it because it was one of the funniest things that I've heard, because they were talking about crystals. Now, are you on that journey?
No. No, we do have some crystals laying out on the windowsill, actually, that we got a long time ago and we still don't touch, just in case they're really charging. But otherwise, no. But I guess by being that superstitious, yes.
Well, I'm like low-key on that journey. But they were talking about their crystal. What's it called? It's like Pratt Daddy crystals.
Pratt Designs or Pratt Crystals, right?
Mm-hmm. Not sponsored. We should be, though, because we did get Heidi her highest sales of all time. But anyway, Heidi said, one of the funniest things I've heard probably ever, she said, I don't know who it was, but somebody said it. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. I don't know who said it. Somebody smart, I think. And I was like, iconic.
That's a quote. Did you grab that audio or it happened too soon?
It happened too soon.
Well, she didn't lie.
It might still be up on Slater's IG.
That's a good one. For anyone who is just joining us, you might not know that T. Kyle and I had an interview on Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt's podcast, where we talked about Heidi's music career, Superficial, her debut album, and ideas for her music comeback. And we had mentioned that she would fit right in with the PC Music / Slater crowd. And lo and behold, a year later, here we are. So we say our impact jokingly 99% of the time, but in fact, we've probably helped to make this happen a little bit, if they were listening, in between the SponCon on the podcast.
Have you guys ever heard of Costbox or whatever it was? No, not sponsored. Well, also,
we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah, Slater did tell her to put Superficial on a vinyl. So if that happens, then Slater's impact on top of our impact, on top of basically this is a place for legends, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Something is moving, something in the air.
Yeah, Cornova.
True.
Anyway, speaking of vinyls, you guys, it's happening again.
Oh, yes, our impact part two.
This is just a
podcast where we take credit for everything. Yes, Urban Outfitters, hot off the press, Bionic and Lotus vinyl, 12 inches of advanced music for true music lovers only.
They need to like stop.
What? Stop.
My cart is so full. I still like, I just, it's.
Oh no, they're going to keep going all the way with these. They see that the gays are loving it. So they're going to keep doing this more and more. And frankly, I'm loving it. You know, I, as an owner, a two-time owner of the Bionic Fan Edition box set vinyl, I don't need another Bionic vinyl. I don't actually think I need a Lotus either. I do have the Lotus Fan Edition, but I think that's not a 12-inch. But I think it's really important to have these on vinyl.
I just like that it's a big cover art.
Exactly. And I'm sure the Bionic Fan Edition is really good. So if they have any of those images in there, then that is perfect, because that photo shoot and those images that they use inside of the Fan Edition, so good.
See, so I don't open mine,
it's a big day. Oh, you've never? Okay.
No.
All right.
Can I confess something?
Sure.
I, for the first time, put a record on a record player like a couple months ago. And I was like, how does this work? And I was like holding the thing and I was like, I thought I was going to break it. And then I was like, it looks like an X-Acto knife on it. And I thought I was going to ruin it. It's so weird. Like, who?
You put the needle on it.
Yeah.
To quote Danny Minogue.
I just don't understand. Like, who thought that you can make like a disc where you like put a needle on it and it plays Lotus? Not Lotus.
I don't know who it is. It's probably the same person who said energy cannot be created or destroyed. Whoever that person is.
Who did actually say that?
They're on a roll.
Oh, wasn't that Albert Einstein?
Yes.
Iconic.
I'm checking it so that you don't.
No, it is. Know. I feel confident that it's Albert Einstein. Yeah.
You are correct.
I just think it's so weird, like the concept of a vinyl CD.
Yeah, well, it's the future. It happened 100 years ago, and it's the
right? Like, it's so, and like cassette tapes, like who thought, like, let me just put this tape on a wheel inside of a square? Anyway,
this is not inventors only?
No, Shark Tank.
This is not, this is a place for inventors, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel very good about this drop. I'm very happy for the fighters in my life. And if you haven't, we do have a Bionic Deep Dive episode that you should check out, where we take a look back at the highs and even higher highs of the Bionic era. Grab your gum, grab your red lip anal bead stand, and join us there.
Iconic. We need to do justice for Lotus soon.
Yeah, that's coming up. It's going to be 10 years next year.
Are you kidding me? 10 years since Lotus?
Yeah, 2012.
Wow.
Songbird, Rebirth, Lotus intro.
We're fucking old. Okay, anyway, so speaking of art, there's a little scandal that's happening right now, which I had to look this one up because I didn't know this even happened. I didn't even know she still sang. I was like, she has another single.
Yeah, this is the mascot of this podcast. Two-time coronavirus restriction-breaking legend, Rita Ora, is back at it again. She does sing. She doesn't just rap or whatever. She is coming out with a new EP, including a song called Bang, and she debuted the single art for that upcoming smash, and it is unmistakably inspired by Rina Sawayama, to the point where all of the replies are just like, oh, Rita Sawayama?
I will say, not in her defense, but like, right, at least she didn't copy the font treatment for her first name.
Yeah.
Like, she used it in the song title, like, it's Bang, and it looks very similar. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of on the fence about it. It definitely feels inspired.
It feels inspired. We'll say that. We'll definitely say that.
Yeah.
I feel like she definitely saw it. It's hard to kind of deny, I feel like it's definitely inspired. It's not literally the same.
Clap if you think she should suffer.
I feel so, we literally come for her every single week.
You know what? I was at the Body on Me tour. I've been in the trenches with Miss Ora from the beginning. Oh, she's toured.
When?
Oh, yes. I've seen her by accident like 17 times. Yes. I've seen her on tour with Iggy Azalea. I've seen a lot. Or maybe it wasn't a tour, but it was a performance. I saw her at the Box performing I Will Never Let You Down. I have seen things in my day. That's for damn sure.
Okay, work. Well,
I'm ultimately looking forward to it because I have more than a few Rita bops in my, I was going to say iTunes, but that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, Anywhere really killed me.
Let's Be Lonely Together.
Lonely Together. The 50 Shades song with Liam.
That is amazing.
So, you know, some people stan Rita in this house. I find it funny at the same time. I feel like it's also very, like, inspired by other legends all the time, but I have time.
Aren't we all?
We certainly are. Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see and hear what Bang sounds like. Not to be confused with Bang Bang, and not to be confused with the now TikTok-dominating Jessie J, who is, like, on top of the TikTok charts because there's this viral dance to Domino where you have to do it with another person and you do, like, this silly little routine.
She's been Jessie serving J. those cat suits.
Yes, she will be. Do-do-do-do-do-do. The AirPod meme.
She can sing.
Of course she can. Like, she just also does really funny things with her voice that makes her go viral by accident. Like, no, 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 no.
Well, you know, that's how you chart these days. You got to be on the TikTok.
That is how you chart these days. Ask Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, that's
true. Ask her
true.
Where she got her driver's license.
Is there anything on TikTok that you've been, you know, feeling? Like, are you in a new sub-TikTok category this week?
Yes, actually. I've just followed this jeweler from Pittsburgh, I think, or Pennsylvania, and he does appraisals, and I've never known or cared about, like, diamonds as far as what they're real or fake or how much they're worth. But he takes you through the minute process of scanning the diamond, taking the picture of it, doing the appraisal, and at the end he's like, guess how much it is? And then everybody guesses, you know, says what they thought it was. And it's kind of interesting.
Can you send me that?
I don't think about... Yes, I will. I don't think about what a jeweler does every day. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's kind of fun. That's interesting.
Well, did you never watch Antique Roadshow as a kid?
I did. But I guess, you know, like, he specifically, like, talks about, you know, the color and the cut of the diamond and things like that I've never considered. Shine bright like a diamond. That's my only exposure to diamonds. So Big Ange, rest in peace. But yeah, that's my niche. What about you?
I feel like, is it just me or is it like every single week I'm like falling in love with a new TikToker?
No, you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a new crush.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I have a new crush.
So he has glasses.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Also that weird, whatchamacallit, the thing with the red light challenge.
Oh, the silhouette challenge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Why haven't you, I was like, why hasn't Brad done this yet? This very like up your alley. And then you just like
break into lingerie or nothing. I will say OnlyFans Twitter has gone wild with that challenge and it is not safe for TikTok.
Yeah, that seems like something you would do.
Why haven't I? It's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, that's like, I feel like do it anyway.
I'm like super, I think I'm so embarrassing, but I don't think I'm that embarrassing, but I don't know. Maybe I am. I will post it as this episode goes live.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also do not have a doorway that would work for that.
There's no doorway in your basement.
Exactly.
The basement silhouette challenge.
It could be kind of iconic if the door opens to the snow in the backyard, actually.
Or if you just like do it in front of your mom and get her reaction. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Disappointed but not surprised would be the reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not done the silhouette challenge yet, but there have been many.
Well, I don't even have a segue for this next one. But anyway, this weekend, there is this thing called the Super Bowl, which we are currently not watching.
Right. We're rebelling at this very moment.
And there's a new holiday that now gets celebrated instead of the Super Bowl. Brad.
Yes, there is.
Why don't you take this one?
Why don't you tell everybody what that is? Yes. So about 5 years ago, I believe, I was just reading about this, filmmaker Matthew Cherry tweeted in 2018, Super Bowl Sunday, we should do Janet Jackson Appreciation Day. And that stems from the 2004 Super Bowl, when she performed with someone, and there was an incident, a planned incident, arguably, and Janet was blacklisted by Hollywood, largely executives didn't play her on radio. And it's since been confirmed in reports that like this actually was a vendetta, specifically, you know, CBS Les Moonves was scandals of his own, allegedly was like a big vendetta against Janet because the nipple controversy cost millions in whatchamacallit, the FCC commission, the federal commission of, you know, complaints and whatever bullshit goes into that. The same as when MIA flipped off the camera and was facing a huge lawsuit because America's conservative and ridiculous. But anyway, Janet took the heat. Justin did not. He issued like an apology and just went on to headline the Super Bowl years later, whereas Janet's career objectively suffered and she was blacklisted. And that is why, as I shared that Gen Z TikTok explaining the Super Bowl incident and explaining why they don't know her, which broke my heart, it is legitimate because why would the kids necessarily know her if they didn't do their research, because she was nowhere to be found for years, as mainstream as she was previously. So all that is to say, everyone celebrates Janet's legacy, her impact on this day. It's a fun celebration of her performances, or just directly that performance, to take it back and reclaim it for her. And I think it's a wonderful annual celebration, and I love it. We ring the Justice for Janet bell. And yeah, I think it's a really important thing to do because it was an unfair punishment. And I think there's been a general reckoning happening with the way women have been treated in the industry. This is one of the big examples of society turning around and going, wait a minute, that was fucked up that we did that, that we did all of that. I mean, largely it was not general public, it was executives behind the scenes, as it turns out. But, you know, I think this is a time for reflection and uplifting somebody who was unfairly taken down. There's my
She's an icon, she's a legend, and she is the moment.
Truly the moment. And I love that it's on Super Bowl Sunday. It's very much like a slap in the face to the organization continuously who did that to her. So Yeah, and then you had to suffer through, like, boring men for years at that show until they took another chance, if I remember correctly.
I mean, there's a lot of things about this country that, oh, God, we could get into, but have none of y'all saw a tip before? Like, I really don't understand it. Like, if you watch, like, UK television.
Right.
Compared, it's like, oh, my God, someone gave the middle finger. Like, what? Fucking trash. Anyway. We stand, Janet.
No, I agree with... Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. It's so absurd to think about now that...
It's so absurd.
I just don't think... Well, I don't think the punishment would be the same now anyway. Even if it was a still... If it still happened in 2021, that would still be shocking. But it wouldn't be a crime that she was cast out of media in the same way, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, you know...
So, yeah.
That man's... His last record album sales, we'll say that. Some of y'all are going to have to look that one up.
He's
what
in
goes
the woods,
around
so.
Comes around. Wasn't that right. What the song was called? Anyway, I also, on the subject of Janet, know what I was thinking about the other day? The video for All Night was one of like the earliest times where I was like, oh my God, who the fuck is at my door? What was that?
That's Janet being like, you're hired.
Oh God, now I feel like I'm going to get robbed. One second.
It's probably someone hitting all the buttons.
What was I saying before that happened? The music video for All Night was one of the first moments where I was like, oh my God, I really want to do like videos and production in music. And it is a scam that video is not in HD. We need like a Janet version of MC30 soon where we get all the old music videos in HD.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been hoping that she would do something like that. We did just have Control 35 where we recognized the 35th anniversary of Control.
Yeah.
But yes, we need reissues, remixed, remastered, still iconic moments from her. So justice for Janet and hopefully soon. Hopefully. I do feel like the trajectory was on the way with Black Diamond and the EP that was supposed to come and everything and then Cornova. But
yeah, wasn't she supposed to tour?
Supposed to tour, supposed to have new music, and then everything happened. But
yeah,
we shall see.
Well, even though we weren't watching the actual Super Bowl, we did tune in to the TikTok tailgate for a moment from Miley that I was kind of taken back by, to be quite honest.
Were you?
I thought we were just getting maybe two or three songs because they said performance.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. But then I tuned in and it was a whole concert.
Right. No, it was. It was a full TikTok concert, which that's, I guess, the future. I don't know if it was on TV. I think it was just TikTok. But yeah, it was a tailgate party. She was dressed as like a cheerleader.
So good. All player. The outfits were incredible.
Yep. The comments were largely scathing from like conservative grandmothers in Florida being like, this is going to turn my child gay. Which,
you know what,
is a sign
Karen,
that you're doing
maybe
a good
it
job.
Will.
I hope it does. yeah, so.
Don't they have bigger things to worry about in Florida right now? One, you have like the worst COVID rates in America. Two, you're all going to be underwater in like 3 fucking years. So shut the fuck up. Leave Miley alone. Anyway, continue. Am I wrong?
Exactly. No, you're not wrong.
Anyway.
We also got, a ton of performances actually throughout, including. A Ashley O moment.
Oh, so good.
It was really good. I really thought she did a great job. And she also, I think I was a bit shook by the fact that there was a crowd.
Yeah, I...
But they were all like vaccinated people or something, right? Isn't that?
Yes. Yeah, so it was vaccinated healthcare workers, which apparently the whole thing is that like everyone that's going to be in the crowds that was invited.
Oh, interesting.
Which
yeah.
I think that's a good thing. And I will say that her speeches throughout every little interlude made me very emotional. But I did just pretty much listen to like it was too weird seeing crowds. I was like, it made me like feel nervous.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, it's... Joan Jett is a legend. Why is she there in person? I was like, what is Billy Idol doing? You know what I mean? Like they got so close and I was like, no.
Well, she did a lot. She did an amazing show. She was probably really thirsty to get back out there. She's always amazing live. She also gave a shout out to Britney.
She did. And she gave us vocals.
She did.
I feel like she's giving her best vocals ever.
Yep, she definitely is. I think this is her best vocal era to date by far. And also she's been showing that because she's been on the treadmill on TikTok showing her doing her rehearsals, which is, I'll never forget. I remember learning that Madonna did that to prepare for tour, and to see Miley do that was very like, wow, it's a legend thing to do, is to prepare by being on the treadmill and singing, because you forget that that's what they have to do. The vocal control, the breath control is crazy. So she just sounded so amazing. And yeah, doing the hits and the new album, Plastic Hearts, which we stan. So
yeah, it was such a good mix of eras.
Yeah, definitely a good mix. And I feel like she did what she could do to appeal to the NFL crowd by having like some rock legends and having the vibe of her new album being, I would think, kind of appealing to them. But who knows? I don't know what straight people want, but she did good. It's like, what do you want? Do you want a guitar?
Yeah. Noted on the treadmill and singing. I'll have to start practicing that on my at-home treadmill for my Super Bowl performance.
Right, exactly. You do have, you have it prepared. Yes, yes.
Yes. Well, she did give love to our queen, Britney. So in Britney news this week, we have a couple things that are happening. Now, first
to say the least, yes.
Yeah, to say the least. So first up, we had a Glory demo that leaked on YouTube and pretty much everywhere called Exaholic. And I will say, I got at least 10 to 12 DMs from people being like, oh my God, make this into a remix, remix it, T. Kygo. And I was like, oh, maybe.
I definitely can see why.
Yeah, because it's an unfinished demo.
Yeah, the beats leave a lot to be desired. The lyrics do too, but I think it's a good vocal. I will give the song that. I didn't listen and think, oh my God, what a missed opportunity at all.
No,
but
me
I do
neither.
Think she sounded perfectly Britney, and you know, it always makes you like, it sets off that stan feeling inside when you're like, oh my God, new vocals. But yeah, as far as like the lyrical content and being an exaholic is like, no.
Now, what is an exaholic?
Does
it mean like you're just addicted to your exes?
I think so. This song is not the one that got away.
Oh,
am I?
No, I'm like, exaholic song about you. I can't relate.
Yeah, no, I don't have that particular problem, but I feel like it just wouldn't work. It's a goofy concept. It's
also she's not.
She's not, and she shouldn't be. That's the other thing. We should not be celebrating, you know,
right, like it doesn't
any
make
of
sense.
Her exes. No.
I'm
so
an
like,
exaholic, calling what you wanted.
No. Yeah, this is not the one that got away as far as a song. I feel like if the lyrics were entirely reworked, maybe I'd be more into it. But yeah, I feel like especially in the grand scheme of Britney, it's like, oh God, I don't need to like think about her exes ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fun to always fun to hear new vocals from her. And this seems like part of the journey of like when they were talking about when there was a version of Glory that was early that wasn't really vibing before Queen Karen Kwok came in. This definitely feels like this was probably part of the batch that was like not really it.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't think we missed a golden album there. But yeah.
I'll do a remix and it'll go like this. I'm a Duncan Holic, calling what you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do well.
Charli D'Amelio.
That'll
shaking.
Do really well for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That send it to the D'Amelios. Maybe they'll care.
Like, I'm coming for your Duncan sponsorship. Ugh. Yeah, well, that was like one thing. And then there's another thing in the Britney world, which has taken the media, social, everything by storm. My phone has been blowing up for an entire week about this. The New York Times documentary came out this week on Hulu, right?
Hulu and FX.
Hulu and FX.
Framing Britney Spears.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It explores the conservatorship, but really it's told through the lens of let's take a look back at what led to this point. And I feel like that is kind of the focus of the documentary, is because it doesn't answer any of those questions that remain. It's mostly about what has led to this moment and why the questions are, you know, what questions are there and the most recent developments, which are still like slightly dated at this point. Because unless they had breaking news, it was never going to be able to like crack any significant news, because it's like, as we had talked about, like, if you make a documentary about this situation, every month she's going to court. So every time that happens, there's been a new development lately. So it was like, how do you catch up with that? But I think the biggest takeaway, and I feel like this is probably worth like a deep discussion, I feel like the documentary really explored the way that she was exploited and failed by the media, by family, by literally every man. And to a certain degree, it was pretty traumatizing to rewatch footage that largely I've already seen and experienced, but through the lens of like 2021 and just thinking about everything that's gone on, it's very hard to watch the story unfold yet again, even though we know it very well. I think because I have Stan goggles on, and it's a common problem that I have, that I always feel like people are on the bus with me already, like on the journey, and then I realize that they never left the station, because watching these hashtags and these trending topics, it becomes like immediately clear that like most people really didn't reconsider the way that, especially I would say the biggest ones are Justin Timberlake, Sam Lutfi, and various other people, and her father obviously failed her by doing things or saying things that were exploitative. And I feel like for me, because it's just assumed, like we talked about it on the podcast forever, like how much she was mistreated, but like I'm seeing that the general public really did not know or fully grasp like how bad she was actually like treated. So it feels very emotional and sort of like a reckoning, and that feeling of like, now you guys see how bad it actually was and always has been towards her. You know, we would always bring up interviews where they'd talk about her breasts, her virginity, her sexuality, and she was always so young to begin with, but it was always so insultingly worded and so crude, and blaming her, slut shaming. And we've talked about that for so much, but like seeing it all kind of laid out on this trajectory definitely brought it all back, and I think opened up a lot of people's eyes who really weren't checking for it. And so that is kind of what I think is the biggest takeaway from this right now, is like, oh, this is why we're here. Like, this is how bad it got. And no wonder, you know, she was under such stress and in pain. So it was horrible. Like, so many people to be mad at in that documentary, the fucking paparazzo who was like, well, she didn't say to stop as she like hit the car with the fucking umbrella. That part was infuriating.
Yeah.
You know, for fans, I feel like there's not necessarily anything new there. Felicia, God bless her heart, Fee, was probably the thing I think maybe like hardcore stans appreciated the most in the documentary, because that was the closest connection to Britney they pretty much had, I would say, participating. And she did kind of exactly what you would expect from Fee. Just, she was there to be like, this is the person I know and love, and she is such a special person, and shared those memories. It felt very like I had the wonderful experience of having that like backstage moment during the failed 2015 documentary, and it felt like that is just what she would say to a fan who loved her as much as she does, and that she just wanted to share and bring into the world. And it was so like, she's a sweet woman. And when she said at the end is what I feel the strongest about, which is that I feel strongly and hope that she will be able to tell her story one day, that there's support and love there for her. And yeah, I feel like that was kind of all of my opinions about it. Just said a lot of things. How did you feel about it?
I share a lot of your same feelings. I mean, oh, it's like, where do you even begin? I think some top line notes. I do think overall, I thought it was very well done. I thought the use of archived footage and new interview, like I thought as a documentary for what it was, for just being a short one-off, I thought it was really great. And I thought they did a fantastic job, you know, covering in such a short period of like short time, a lot of information.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done. And again, like you said, I mean, it was nothing new for me. Everything in the documentary I had sort of seen, known, heard of, followed, been there kind of situation. But I appreciated the way that they handled it. I thought they did it very respectfully. I thought they were really mindful of it. But yeah, I think what was so interesting for me was that it really was a moment where I realized that so many people have not been following along in the way that we have. And so many people, you know, they don't know about her last album. We've joked about this before. You know, we've gone to Britney Nights. People are like, what is this song from Glory? You know,
yeah, they kind we joke about it, but it's true. They don't even know that there's even stuff beyond Blackout in some cases. Like, yeah. You just, it like the story ends for a lot of people very far off away.
Right.
From
so I think that's where I was like, you know, because I was hearing from a lot of people who, you know, haven't really been on the Britney train like we have.
Yeah.
And so for them, I think it was a shock. Like the response that I was getting from a lot of people was shock of like, oh my God, I can't believe we did that to her. I can't believe she went through that, which is, you know, something we've always talked about. And then what I think made me so upset, which I've always felt this, but watching it back made me feel it again, was, you know, as the documentary kind of ended and there was that moment where they showed her in the bathtub with the rose and the soap. And it was like, all she ever wanted, and I feel like there were pieces of it throughout the entire documentary, it was like all she ever wanted was just a normal life and peace. It, you know, goes through all of this chaos. And then at the end, there was a still moment of her in the bathtub. And it just, I mean, it made me completely sob because to me, watching, I feel like a lot of the general public has been like really, really, really brutal on her in these Instagram comments. I mean, I've talked about it. I've fucking like snapped on these episodes. There's been things that I've had to cut out because I've been so angry at things that people have said and things that people have done and comments that people have made about her Instagram recently. And then at the end of this documentary, it was like showing her in the bathtub. And it was just this reminder of like, that's all she ever wanted. Like, she just wants to be at home, safe, having a normal life with her family and her kids. And here's a reminder of that. And to me, her Instagram has been that for so long. You know, this is just my own personal perspective and opinion. And it made me just so sad. And I hope that this documentary kind of changes people's minds a little bit in reminding them a little bit about how brutal she was treated by the media and by the paparazzi and by all of that. And it's not okay to like keep continuing that. And I don't know. Does that make any sense? It's such a nuanced, hard thing to talk about.
It is. It does make sense because at the same time, you know, the great irony is that this will drum up a lot of attention. And I would not want the same media circus to come full circle and make her life hard again. But at the same time, it's this tightrope of like, but it comes out of a place of concern for most people because they see something that feels off to them. So there's concern, but you also don't want to invade her life and make it the same invasive lens of the paparazzi all over again in just a different way. And so it's kind of like this tightrope of like wanting the best for her, but also respecting her boundaries and privacy and not, you know, wanting to hurt that. I totally get what you mean with that. I guess I'm relieved that the biggest takeaway that I'm seeing so far is that there's a lot of understanding, maybe even more so than For the Record ever accomplished with the way that she was treated, because maybe there's just more hindsight this time around or like a better way to overview. And For the Record did not even address the misogyny to that degree or anything like that, that has like pervaded her career. So I feel like I'm relieved is the word that people are being confronted with this and have to sort of question their own actions during that time. And did I contribute to that? Did I mock her? Did I also write her off as like this bimbo and like allow her to be demeaned? You know, I think it's causing a lot of self-reflection. And so that's,
I mean, I even
a
felt
good
that
thing. And that's what, too. You know, yeah, I think everybody should, you know, it's
like I remember at the end watching it, like even, I don't know, I definitely had a moment where I was like, how do I say this? Like when we did the Britney podcast, I feel like, you know, yes, it's a podcast about her career and we go through all the moments and it's, you know, some people view it as like an encyclopedia of Britney, but to me, it's so much more of almost like a, not a, what's the word? I'm not very smart. Almost like an autobiography of like our lives through our love of Britney more so than it is like about her. And I even like at the end of this documentary, I got so upset and I was like, did I contribute in any way to like heighten the tension around her? Even if my intention was good, did I add, you know, did I add noise? Did I add something negative? Did I add more eyeballs to the conversation? And maybe she just wants to, you know, be in her bathtub and live in peace. And I had this like swirling of emotions of like, I don't even know if I want to talk about this next week on the podcast. Like, you just feel so awful and so guilty. And I hope it will just have everyone kind of feeling that before they go and they leave a comment on her Instagram calling her this word or that word or making assumptions or jumping to some conclusion that they think is truth because they think or saw something. I don't know. But then again, it's like we're doing it right. I feel like I'm doing it right now as I'm talking about it.
Which is why ultimately, like, all I really hope is that I wish her nothing but peace and happiness, and that wherever it stands legally, I can only support her and her wishes. And, you know, we've talked about only wanting to hear from her and whatever she's wishing right now. And as it stands, the current thing that we have been given through the court, in her own words, through her lawyer, is that she wants her father taken off the conservatorship. And so all I can do is hope that she gets her wish, because that is pretty much what I've been given to see, and that she welcomes the informed support of fans. So she is aware that they are watching, and we're just watching as it legally rolls out. Obviously, there's tons more eyeballs on it now, and it's tough because nobody in her immediate circle, from anyone in her family to anyone involved in the case, would speak on that particular documentary. So we're just left with more speculation, unfortunately. However, at the end of the day, as a fan on the outside, all I can really do, as always, is support her. So what her wishes are her wishes. And that is like why I think it's so painful to watch, is because it's just like you feel sort of helpless, but you also feel very angry. And I see that a lot of people are very angry at all of the people who have wronged her in her journey. So
as they should be. I mean, same.
So exactly. So
I thought this did a much better job of doing that than anything else could have, to be completely honest. Like, I think that's what I appreciated about it, was like, it felt very rooted in like fact and information, and it was so well done. And it was like, this could do so much more than like, you know, you or I could do on this podcast or like a tweet or, you know, I think it just made such a bigger splash than anything else, and really got to a lot of people, which I think is great.
I think so too. I think it managed to handle everything pretty respectfully and address concerns without presenting necessarily all as fact, but just something to think about. So
can I bring the mood up a second?
Oh,
well, not for just a second, but like, hopefully. I loved all of the old photos.
God, the pictures included were incredible, for sure.
Right? Like, I thought they really included so many, I don't know, like, it was very nostalgic. And even though at the end of it, I was like sobbing and I had to take a shower and I was like extremely depressed. And I was like, this just hurts my whole spirit down to my core. It just was like so, like, when Fee at the end was showing the old photographs, like, it just felt so joyous. And I did have like a glimmer of hope at the end when Fee was like, I do feel like she'll be able to tell her story. Like, I really believed her when she said that. And it made me feel like, okay, I feel like that will happen one day. It doesn't have to be now. And it doesn't feel like there's pressure. But I loved seeing all the old photos and footage. And, you know, when they showcased the mall tour, and it was like, yeah, like, she really came from nothing and then became a fucking superstar, and she deserved it and she earned it.
Yeah. And she earned her autonomy and her ability to like be her own person. And so it's really hard to reconcile like the current situation. So
yeah,
it's hard. It's really hard. Definitely put a spotlight on the case and the ongoing legal situation. So I guess we're gonna have to just stay tuned on that and watch that development. But more importantly, I just hope that she's okay, and that, you know, I don't even know how this gets into her orbit or in what way, but I hope that she finds that there is positivity and support in it without feeling exploited again. It's so hard.
Yeah, it's the longest wait and see ever.
Yeah, that's why we're sorry, Brittany. We're sorry Brittany was trending, I think.
Was trending.
People were like apologizing with pictures of 2007 and all of the various indecencies against her. And I think it's kind of a shared cultural thing, to be honest. It's like the culture did it to her, and we're looking back now and being like, fuck, even as fans, just reconsidering.
Well, a lot of people are still doing it to her in the comments on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so, did you see her Instagram post with the kinetic sand?
I did ASMR-ny.
I thought it was so relaxing. I know she was getting made fun of, as always. But, like, literally, if Britney started an ASMR channel doing kinetic sand on YouTube, which is a thing, and it's also a thing on TikTok, I'm wondering if she saw it on TikTok.
I don't know, but I feel like she definitely is enjoying that little... I don't even know what that... Is that, like, a... Well, she said she got it at Target. It's, like, squishy sand?
Oh, yeah. There's, like, a whole kinetic sand talk, basically.
Oh.
Where people do, like, kinetic sand in cups and, like... there's a bunch of YouTube channels that do like ASMR kinetic sand, and there's also that one girl who does the reviews of like ASMR videos. Have you seen her where she always duets and she'll be like, oh, that was a good one. Yeah.
Oh yes, I have seen her.
Love
yes.
her. But it's like a whole thing, and I was like, did she football and kinetic sand ASMR talk? Because I'm on it.
It's very possible. Who knows, actually? But
yeah,
I wish her nothing but the best, as always. And as a fan looking on the outside, all I can do is support her. And we're gonna wait and see what the resulting fallout or bringing to light this documentary causes. What happens in the dark eventually comes to light. And I do think I think that we're well on our way. It feels like a very a weekend of reckoning as people kind of reconsidered the Janet and Britney's situations. And that feels nice, actually. It feels like
Super Bowl justice. 2022, Britney and Janet together.
I mean, that would be the dream. That would absolutely be the dream.
Imagine that redemption.
It would be so symbolic.
Oh, that would be fucking legendary.
So we're going to hope that Britney gets her way. We're going to hope that Janet gets her album out. And it was a hard one, though. Definitely a depressing watch. Very sad.
Yes, it will make you very sad.
It will.
Well, no other way to segue out of that one. I literally have absolutely no idea how to.
Well, I think we should probably
just play the song.
Kick it up a notch.
High fashion! So editorial.
Guys, this is awesome.
This is a billboard.
This is super high fashion.
Oh my God, that's so high fashion.
So high fashion.
Okay, everyone. Well, actually, you know what? Here's a good segue. This actually is a great segue. Wendy Williams does a really great job on her show of going from extremely dark topics to just immediately switching into something completely random. And all she does is go, all right, well, and that's it. So, my high fashion this week is Wendy Williams for her snowsuit jumpsuit that she wore last week. A fucking serve. I mean, she's been serving like all through the press week and everything. I still haven't watched the documentary or the Lifetime movie. I know. Don't drag me. It's been a long week. But yeah.
It's been a long week. Well, she literally, like, pick.
This week she was talking about how they were finding dead bodies in the snow. And she's like, oh. There's a hand.
There were six shootings, though, during the snowstorm here in the city. There was one in Newark, and the city workers in Newark were cleaning up and found a body. Like, oh, I see a hand.
Under the snow?
Under the snow.
What? Oh.
Oh, terrible.
I was watching a lot of TV, but not really watching a lot of TV. You know what I mean? So this Mariah Carey. Mariah, by the way, you were fabulous in the documentary.
And then she just is like laughing. And then she's like, anyway, so Mariah Carey's sister is suing her for the $1.something billion.
That's right.
Like, what? Like the way that she talks about things on the local news and then just switches subject into like, Kylie Jenner. All right. Well, so.
That's a radio pro. That's what they do.
We got to get better at that.
Yeah. We got to just keep it moving.
What
it
was that?
It feels strange to do.
It really does. It's like so uncomfortable.
So I'll just keep it moving with my pick, which is a throwback, actually, because I was inspired by the Golden Globes. I don't care about awards, except for the Legends Only Awards.
Which were legendary, by the way.
Right. The Golden Globes nominations were announced, and they were fucking ridiculous and all over the place. Not that I care. But... it made me remember that Madonna was there in 1997 in a plunging black dress that was very amazing. So I'm giving it up to Madonna in 1997 for her Dolce & Gabbana dress. She was an actress. She was popular in the 90s. And yes.
What the fuck is MDNA?
And shout out to Nicole Kidman, who presented her with the award. It was a real Legends Only moment there. And I always look at pictures of her at that award show. She just looks so good. So shout out to Madonna for your 1997 look.
Didn't Burlesque get nominated at the Golden Globes?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, so we stand the Golden Globes.
Sort of, but not really, because they always fuck up their awards and are very, like, racially problematic. But they did give it to Burlesque, so we'll half hat tip to them.
Yeah, just one Globe.
But they need to get better. Just one, yes, yes, that's exactly right. And did you watch Drag Race?
I did.
What did you think? I clearly had some feelings on social media.
Oh, yeah. I saw your tweet. Okay, so it got spoiled.
She went off.
Someone fucking Instagram storied the elimination before I watched. So I was like, okay. So I'm not going to do the same thing to y'all listening. So I won't say who got eliminated, but I was very upset by it. But I also felt very inspired by the way that they went out and the things that they said and the attitude that they had. I thought was extremely optimistic and positive and resilient. And I was like, you know what? We stan. But you know what? I got to say, Utica is like my favorite. I think I'm just like really, she's getting that underdog edit. And I'm like, okay, I'm liking where this is going.
Yeah, absolutely. I hated the episode for for a lot of reasons. My biggest thing, and I'm not going to go into a whole thing, but obviously it was a disco episode and they had the... They just didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have any knowledge of it. It wasn't like they referenced anything even remotely close to what they should know as queer entertainers, in my opinion. It was just a little disappointing. Even I was just waiting for like, it just say Confessions on a Dance Floor. Like just maybe like a new disco moment.
A Public Affair, like, by Jessica Simpson.
A Public Affair. It was like so bizarre. It was like, why is this hard? It's like... For a dollar, name a disco song. And it was like, it was just really upsetting to see. And also, I mean, I'm not going to go into it too much, but like the Diana Ross, Donna Summer comment was like especially just disrespectful. And I didn't like that. I didn't like seeing all of that. That
yeah.
just wasn't my cup of tea. But
literally RuPaul was like, so what do we think about the disco? And everyone was like,
oh my God, what is it called?
Oh
yeah, so I didn't really have a pick either for like a best look. However, I will say I'm totally happy with the winner. Are we spoiling it or not spoiling it?
Don't spoil it.
Okay, the winner deserved a ray of sunshine. Just very happy for her. I felt the narrative of the episode could have been more like a teachable moment of being like, well, here's who these legends are. That was more like... Instead, it was sort of like a celebration of their cluelessness, which I didn't love. So I know I'm like a pop nerd about it, but it was just like not, you know, when it's important to queer history, and that is sort of what the show is trying to say in their episodes a lot of the time, is like things that were important to queer culture. Or it's just like, it was a weird misstep in my opinion. But anyway, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking that one up.
I'm full of happiness this episode.
Well, it's just a nice reminder.
No,
that
but it
old.
Comes from a loving place.
Yeah.
It comes from a loving place because it is one of my favorite shows. I want them to do good and I want entertainers to be good. I feel like we should look to drag queens for like knowing things about queer culture and just, you know, music and, you know, but I do also think it's valid to meet them halfway with references that are more current. It just like that didn't really happen either. So it was a bit bizarre. Anyway,
I did learn a lot about the disco sucks thing.
Right. They did make that a point, which was good. I don't know that the song necessarily reflected it, but
yeah,
the My Pussy's on Fire song. But, you know, there was an attempt made.
This country is so racist.
Well, yes. Ultimately, that should have been the lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super disappointing charts this week, everyone. Not that our listeners are doing that, but yeah, it's hard to see how disgusting this country can be. Yeah, but we are working to make it better.
We're very aware of it.
Yeah, it's like stopping this queer black music from infiltrating the, you know, mainstream and becoming too big. And yeah, so it was very much like gatekeeping music and stuff. But anyway,
we're here to tell you that disco does not suck. Stream it now by Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. And yeah, I guess my final takeaway from that is just because I'm not telling anybody who, what, or who, how they should be, but I feel like
I am.
I'm joking. I personally just can't relate to the idea of not wanting to do your research or not wanting to know more about the people who inspired your faves, because once I discovered Janet long, long time ago, like already loving Britney, it was like a light bulb went off when you watch Janet's performances and concerts and stuff, and you're like, oh my God, she is Britney's mom. Like, that is where that comes from. Like, that clearly inspired Britney. Like, so, and I feel like it tells the story better of like your fave is by knowing what they were inspired by. So it's disappointing because I don't like the attitude of like, my fave's a legend, slay, yes. And it's like, there's a history behind why yours is even a thing. You know, it's like, it's all been done before. It's all, you know, I just like to know about pop culture history. And so I just don't relate to not being thirsty to learn about other older acts. But
well, you know what I say to that, Brad?
What?
I think that's why a lot of people, including myself, enjoy you so much, because I think that you do an incredible job of presenting all of that in a really fun way. And I learn something new every single week, because my dumbass, you know me, I don't literally, I'm like,
oh my God, what is it called?
Every single week. So,
well,
you got me on
really
the Janet train.
That is far too kind, but
you got me into Kylie Minogue.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you. That's awesome. And yeah, I kind of just hope other people feel that way. So, or maybe are inspired after that episode to be like, that didn't feel great. If you didn't know who Donna Summer is, maybe you'll listen to the This Is Donna Summer playlist or something and just kind of be like, oh my God, like this is why Confessions on a Dance Floor exists. Like this is why, you know, all of that. So
yeah, it's a fun venture.
Well, yeah. So anyway,
also, side note on this episode, but like I thought RuPaul was having so much fun.
Oh yeah. She's definitely talking way more.
Yeah. Like I think she's like into it more.
Yeah. Or they told her to. They were like, you need to interact with them.
She's not natural.
But yeah, no, she's laughing a lot more. And also, I feel like she gets more critiques in than I've seen in past seasons for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, she's actually giving feedback. So I found that's a good thing. Trains rights.
Toot, toot. Beep, beep. Trains rights.
Trains. Oh, God.
So
forever
bad.
Forever the best.
All right, so should we get into some new music this week?
Yeah, speaking into inspiring tunes.
Toot toots and beep beeps.
Toot toots.
All right, girls, let's get electronic for a second. So I have two recommendations for this week. The first one is Tavlo and Martin Garrix, Pressure, dun-dun-dun, bop. Very new sound from Martin Garrix, I think.
Yeah, it's much closer to, it's actually a pretty good marriage, really.
Yes.
Because it's dark and ominous like Tove,
mm-hmm.
and still has that beat from Garrix. And
it's so good.
You know, Martin Garrix is known for like big festival-y songs like In the Name of Love with Bobby Rexha.
Bop.
So is definitely understated for him, but it's cool that
Scared to Be Lonely with Dua. Dua Peep.
Yes, of course. He works with all the ladies. And so this is exciting. Oh, speaking of Dua Peep, we should probably we'll talk about it more next week, but we do have the Moonlight edition of this album coming and quite the controversy involved in that. But I think we'll talk about that in detail when the album drops and we get to listen to it.
Yeah, it's so nice to see she's traveling everywhere, including the moon.
The moon!
We'll talk about that next week.
To the moon.
London, Paris, Tokyo, and now the moon.
She's seen and done it all. Yes, we will. But we'll do the deep dive into the album and like the controversy of a feature and everything. When that's
or lack out. Thereof, so,
or lack thereof, some would say. Yes.
Whatever. My other recommendation for the week is another EDM bop by Jonas Blue and AWA, or AWA, or AWA, whatever it's called. Something Stupid, which has a mild, like, subtle Show Me Love sample bop. We stan.
Love that. I love going electronic.
The sounds of, like, the early 2000s and, like, 90s house are all coming back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thanks, Chromatica.
she's got a point.
No, I know. It's true.
Do we know if...
any excuse to play Better Off Alone is worth it to me.
Lindsay would have been ahead of her time. Now that I think about it, if Lindsay had dropped Xanax,
she really was.
She would have been ahead of her time.
I know. We still, at least we have the SoundCloud rip.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I didn't put this in our notes, but for a second here.
My Stephanie Jeromato.
Do we know if there's more music coming from her? I saw it on that Instagram account.
Well, we do have Cheek to Cheek 2 coming.
Oh, that's right.
And that's going to be very upsetting this time around.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're having a Chromatica moment. We're like just having Chromatica Oreos 2? And making them into chickens. Oh, what?
I want Chromatica 2.
I do too. I don't know the likelihood of that, though, because it feels like they're almost rolling right on in spring with the Cheek to Cheek follow-up. So I don't know if she would sneak that in right before. Maybe, but
yeah,
who knows? For now... Check out the Chromatica Oreo TikTok account if you want to be horrified by chicken tenders made out of Chromatica Oreos and waffles and every other concoction, because the monsters, they're bored,
they're tired,
they're hungry. They're so thirsty for another performance or more music. Yeah, the flavor.
Did you see the photo of Pete Buttigieg getting sworn in as Secretary of Transportation? And they photoshopped
swearing in on the Chromatica Oreos.
On the Chromatica yes, Oreos I sure over the Bible. Y'all are
truly
going to
the
hell,
memesters are
stand.
Doing the most. Everyone's going to hell. Everyone's going to hell.
See you there.
See you there. Okay, I have some bits and bops here. A quick shout out to a song. Miss Collegian Clarkson has a song with a man from The Voice. And
isn't his name like called Hoot I Would've Loved... or something?
Yes, Jake Hoot.
Literally putting
Hoot Lovato. Yeah. It's Kelly and Hoot Lovato, and they are doing a song called I Would've Loved You, and it's Too Much Man. However, Kelly has a note in there that reminds me of Just Missed the Train Bridge that is so good at the tail end of this song, and it just overshadows him, obviously. So shout out to
Just
Collegian.
Missed the Train.
A formative song from my youth. Speaking of American Idols, there's a Jordan Sparks bop called You Still Think of Me, which actually I like.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's nice. It's not, you know, it's much better than the Sangria Wine one that they turned into the Old Navy commercial meme, which was ruthless.
Yeah, this is fast.
So this was an upgrade. So You Still Think of Me, Jordan Sparks.
Speaking
of
men.
We've got Demi Lovato and a man.
Well,
yeah.
You know who? She should do a new version of No Air.
She should.
With like a new man. A less problematic
true.
Man.
I don't know if it would work in a time of Cornova. Or
I'm
maybe
just
it would
so
be
glad
perfect.
That like if life never returns to normal and like the end of times are coming, I got to witness Jordan Sparks singing No Air with Joe Jonas.
You're very lucky. Mm-hmm. I got to see her open for the circus tour.
Same.
Blessings on blessings. So, speaking of teaming up with men, unfortunately, Demi Lovato has one called What Other People Say, self-empowerment anthem, as Demetria would do. It's cute. I'm ready for Demi to move off. I'm ready for Demi to move off of this topic.
Yeah.
I'm ready for her to just sing about anything else. Because I kind of feel
like
it all falls under.
Also, this is going to sound so bad, but I'll say it. Because we're deep enough into the episode, so I feel like if you've made it this far, you're like, you know, you get it. So, Demi's new hair, the pink. Mm-hmm. Now, have you seen the TikTok of the girls doing Sexy Back by that other man that we whose name we don't say?
Yeah.
So, I stan. I'm obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with all of the remakes of it and all of, like, the memes that have come from it. Because it like reminds me of my friends from high school, but the hair, the pink hair, the one who does the second move, the pink, they have the same hair.
Okay. So now...
Yeah. Did you see the TikTok where they put Demi's eras?
Yeah. It's kind of inescapable.
Yeah. I can't unsee it.
Yeah. No, you can't. No, it's true. That's okay. She will have to change her hair now, though. Like, people will... Like, now it has to change because she's going to be known as girl number two in the TikTok. So, yeah.
Iconic.
You know, she cannot catch a break.
No.
I'm ready for, like, a cool for the summer again. I'm basic gay, but, like, or a neon lights. I would love that for her.
Bop.
yes. A few more other quick ones. Daya's back with a song called Bad Girl.
Bop.
I love Daya's bops. She's a bop queen. And, it's another win for the lesbian pop movement of this year between Rebecca Black and this song. I'm like, okay, it's such a good song. There's also a new old Ali X, I believe. It's a demo called Glam, a very fun 80s shimmering pop. Ali X is a very reliable singer-songwriter. And then Queen Jessie Ware is releasing Remember Where You Are, which is one of the highlights from What's Your Pleasure. She's releasing that as a single. There's a single edit. Fantastic. SG Lewis teams up with Nile Rodgers, the legend, for a song called One More, which I really, really like. SG Lewis worked with Dua on a lot of Future Nostalgia and did Experience with Victoria Monet, and he's just really on top of the world right now, and so I would check out SG's stuff. Oh, yeah, and Victoria Monet, speaking of, has a song called F-U-C-K, which is her If You Seek Amy.
Hot.
It's about... having friends with benefits. So check it out for your Silk Sheets playlist.
Oh, God, I have none of those anymore.
Oh, and finally, Miss Cardi is back with Up, not a Shania Twain reference.
What? Oh, wait, no, that's a different one.
She is truly giving those visuals.
Oh, it's so good. The video is fantastic.
The video, her on the glass table with the man with ass up naked, fantastic, A+. And then that sort of like cheer squad formation in rainbow colors, and the whole visual is so, it's just so bubblegum pop. And she did it with WAP. She's really a visual girl. Like she does very eye-popping visuals. And I feel like that is something that, frankly, the pop girls are kind of not giving as much as Cardi as far as like pop visual. So a very enjoyable, a very Cardi anthem. The lyrics are inspiring. They tell a story. They're going to tell this story at graduations, funerals, weddings.
What's the line where it's like, broke boys don't deserve pussy? Yeah. Is that it? Right?
Yes. Basically, that's the general gist. There's a lot of inspiring lines, you know. He nutted on my butt. I said, I'm glad that you came.
That's pornographic. That's disgusting.
Well, I applaud her, and I am glad that she is speaking up for everyone.
Conservative mommy jumping out.
We are frightened of Cornova. So
another.
Can you get Cornova from that? This is taking a turn. I'll Google it later. Anyway, moving on.
Well, we'll have to wait and see on that one. But yeah. Shout out to Cardi. And yeah, that's kind of it for music.
Yeah.
Coming up soon is the Dua Lipa Moonlight edition of Future Nostalgia, which we will have thoughts and feelings when it comes.
Next week.
We already have some. Yes. And
I think that's pretty much it. I have like no albums that I'm looking forward to yet.
Right. Well, we are looking forward to staying safe, wearing a mask, getting a vaccine, and socially distancing so that we can have a good summer/fall, or who fucking knows anymore. But
I did see a TikTok the other day that this girl was estimating.
Oh, I saw it too. The estimation that the date would fall right before Halloween.
Yes. She would
at
say.
At the current rate.
Right, the current rate, which is climbing. So at the current rate, which is growing, October 23rd, 2021 is allegedly when it would happen. Now, I think if Johnson & Johnson gets approved and the weather gets nicer and they can make all these pop-ups, they can start doing more, and it will just, maybe it'll be sooner.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful for that. If only because I actually need something to hope for and to live for. So
good news. Yesterday, they hit over 2 million vaccinations in one day, which is a huge improvement.
It is amazing. All the news coming out about it has been really reassuring and positive. And even though it's been a slow start, obviously, I can only just be cautiously optimistic that there is a light at the end of this tunnel, and we are getting there, everyone. And one day this podcast might even be in person again. So
it will.
We will be watching and seeing. Yeah.
And like Miley said, at the end of this episode, I just want to shout out anyone listening who is in healthcare or is an essential worker. You are a hero. Amen. And I cannot thank you enough for the work that you have been doing throughout this entire year. And I didn't
bring my pots and pans.
I know.
But if I could, I'd clang clang right now. But yeah,
you are truly the heroes of this whole thing. And one day we will be able to hug in person. I mean, my cousins are nurses. I haven't been able to see them in, you know, over a year now. It's like, thank you if you are out there on the front lines fighting the good fight. We appreciate you. And
absolutely.
Maybe we've been giving you a little laughs. Maybe, I don't know. But thank you.
Absolutely. That is a very good point. That's a nice note to leave off on, actually. Thank you to everyone for listening. And we hope that we are giving you a smile or something to think about on your morning commute and or whatever you do when you listen to this. I don't know. But
someone's getting topped while listening to Legends Only.
I would not be surprised.
Sure.
During high fashion editorial.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, on that note, until next week, which will be Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We will.
Happy Valentine's Day to our listeners.
Oh, Valentine's Day is a fucking corporate scam, please. We will not be kissing.
Somebody's never had a Valentine and it shows.
You know what? Honestly, you're not lying. I have never.
No, but it's
once.
Actually bullshit. I've hated it when I've been in relationships. It's really like an unnecessary New Year's Eve style pressure to do something when you're like, this is stupid. So just continue to treat everyone with love and respect.
Well,
every
rewind
day,
to a year ago, Valentine's Day 2020, 2020, the Galantis concert. No one wanted to go with me. I went by myself, wound up being my second to last concert of all time.
So take advantage of opportunities on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or something
and a
like
stranger
that.
Gave me a sticker that said, "You are beautiful." And I was like,
oh,
God,
that's sweet.
Thank you. And
that
was the last time that I saw.
I didn't even have anything like that.
Oh. Yeah. And she never danced again.
She never danced again.
That's a Cher tweet reference. Yes. She never danced at a concert again.
If you know, you know.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, until next week, everyone, we will
see you
soon. I can't believe it's almost
she
been
never
a
danced again.
Year. Literally, it's almost been a year. It will be a year.
Yep.
Well, Brad. Good luck.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.